You'll be pleased to know there are 99 of us here. So I don't know if anybody wants to grab some unsuspecting stranger off the street and round it up. It's very tempting, isn't it? But what a real great encouragement that first session was. Don't know about you, but I thought that was absolutely tremendous. And we've got some great questions, which we're going to take now. But can I just mention very quickly a few things we've been asked to mention? You should have a feedback form. We always appreciate feedback because it helps us plan to do things better in the future. And so if you could fill that in and leave it perhaps either on your seat or at the entrance as you leave. And also, speaking of the future, we do hope to have, this is the second of these seminars which we've had since the Equip conference last September. The first one, Elspeth took an excellent session on boundaries. And the next one, we haven't got a date for yet, but we're hoping to squeeze in somewhere between the end of Easter and round about June before too many people go on holiday. And we're going to look at trauma, at shock and soul, and looking at the issue of trauma and the Christian life. So if you're on the, if we've got your email, we certainly will let you know about that. And that's the other thing we've been asked to mention, that if you've not actually got on the Equip mailing list, we would really encourage you to do that because it's an easy way for us to keep in touch with you. You'll also get more general information about Equip, which is proving to be very, very useful to Christians in Wales. So the simplest thing to do to get on that list is to go on the Equip, the Wales Leadership Forum website, and you'll find somewhere on there where you can register for updates and get on the email list, and we'll certainly be able to get hold of you that way. Well, we've had some great texts that have come in, and we thought the best way of doing this, if I ask the question and Catherine will answer. So the first one, as a healthcare professional, how can I use biblical principles with my patients with emotional disorders who aren't Christians?
That's a really good question, and I think, you know, as professionals in this area, we've got to be really, really careful, actually, because there's a lot of restrictions over bringing your faith into these sort of environments. And sadly, a lot of people are coming a cropper, actually, when they do so. It's really, really sad. But I think there's a lot we can do. So I have in the past, some non-Christians have asked me if I'll counsel them, and I've said, I will, but I'm going to be doing it from a biblical perspective. Are you happy with that? Now, it would immediately, to me, suggest that God may well be at work in that person if they are seeking input. And what I did with these people was, exactly as the question says, I would talk in biblical themes of you know, God tells us as we love him more, we will love others more. So in a lot of emotional disorder, we will remove ourselves from others and isolate. So I could talk in general categories with these people of how do you move towards someone in love, and that it all begins with you and your heart. You know, everybody is going to come and say, actually, if only I didn't have this, then it would be okay. Whereas the response is actually, people that have these disorders, you know, depending on how they are, what are they trusting in, it will change our response to dealing with the situation we face, and we'll be getting onto this more. So I think we can talk in general themes without thinking, well, in Ephesians it says this, or in the gospel it says this. And people, you know, whether they're Christians or not, they're image bearers. And you can connect in showing helpful things about you know, who they are at a more fundamental level without actually going into biblical texts and things like that. Is that helpful, whoever?
Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. The second question is a great question. Why don't we hear so much about people being diagnosed with stress? Is anxiety a new diagnosis for what have been stress related to outside factors? Is this a helpful diagnosis?
Thank you. Yeah. Medically, stress is usually the physiological response that is going in our bodies. So it's the hormones that are going round. It's the equipping of the flight and fight response is really the stress response that's going on in our bodies. Anxiety is often the outer emotion and behaviors attached with it, which is often illustrating the stress physiological response that is going on inside us. So they are connected, but you know, we've talked in that earlier session on how labels are culturally affected and changed. Anxiety is the buzz thing at the moment. You know, people are just, you know, diagnosing themselves, or doctors are diagnosing with anxiety all the time. I think it is a response to feeling overwhelmed and unable to cope with what is going on, which is what stress is, an inability to cope with what you're faced with. So they are connected, but I think part of it is just the cultural embracing of the anxiety label has moved it away from, you know, that stress response that is going on inside us.
Terms change, don't they?
Yeah,
over time,
yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Great, thank you. Well, here we go. Would you be able to address instances where medication and treatment must be ongoing in the life of a believer, despite a deepening relationship with God? How do we avoid the stigma idea that mental health problems are linked to a lack of spiritual maturity?
Great question. Yeah, we're going to be getting on to this a little bit more in this, in the body-soul interplay. It's a really good question. Okay. Undoubtedly, there are some medical conditions that have an organically are changing the brain and will cause anxiety-type responses and or depressive sort of situations. Particularly the very, very severe depressions or things like bipolar, for example, treatments like lithium, you know, you are going to have to be on that for probably the rest of your life, is the reality. There is no shame in emotional disorder. Mm. There is no shame. And I think, you know, maturing in the faith we don't see in Scripture that it says maturing in the faith means you'll never get anxious. What it shows is when we recognize we are anxious, we more quickly and more fervently turn to the Lord in the midst of that anxiety or depression. And it's that quickness and fervency that is a sign of maturing in the Lord. We're going to be anxious, and sometimes we're going to be despairing. We live in a difficult world, the now and not yet. So I think, and I think the last bit, you know, there is a stigma, undoubtedly. Part of what is my passion to do is equip churches to educate them more in this area, because I think a lot of unhelpful stuff like that and stigma just comes from fear and lack of knowledge. So,
great. Another question is, in the definition of emotional disorder, you said that people can't function in the world. People can seem to be functioning, for example, going to work every day, but are really suffering. What is your definition of functioning?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. And like all of these things, it's very subjective, isn't it? You know, exactly what is functioning or being effective or things? It is so subjective. And this is the reality, you know, the spectrum that we're all on. When is it, you know, as we look at it through the world's eyes, when does it become emotional disorder? And when is it part of just struggling with the pressures of life? It's really, really blurry. It's complicated. The definition I use actually was a secular definition in there, and I'm glad someone raised that, because as I was using it, it was very much there in my mind. Actually, well, what does this mean? And I think it highlights helpfully the subjectivity and self-reporting of this whole area.
Great, thank you. Is there an inner thought structure we can use to self-instruct when in the grip of anxiety?
Yes, and we're coming on to it.
Great. Okay, so hold that one. Could you speak to any of the links between physical, nutritional, quality of life, health, and mental well-being, i.e. the gut-brain axis, and microbiome health, impacting brain inflammation, etc., mood stabilization from exercise, being outdoors, healthy environment?
No. we're embodied souls. What we're doing bodily definitely affects us spiritually. We'll get onto this a little bit now. What is a microbiome? I don't know. Okay. There are definitely important things in terms of traumatic brain injury, stroke, Huntington's, Parkinson's, inflammations of the brain and things like that. It will definitely make what we are experiencing spiritually harder. But in our embodied souls, our body is an agent of the soul. It can't make us sin. It can make it more difficult to live out a life that glorifies God, but it can't make us sin. But it's complicated.
Great, thank you. I think, is it just one more question? No, two. When someone has low self-esteem and explosion fits, how do you get them to see that they need help apart from praying for them?
Explosion fits, I'm assuming, is uncontrolled anger. That's how I'm interpreting that. I think the reality in this is we can't be someone else's Holy Spirit. Is really important. We'll drive ourselves crazy in our pastoral care if we think we can solve everyone's problems, that Messiah complex that we can fall into. I'm thinking about verses, in the Bible that basically point us to actually how can we show, almost through unspoken words, thinking in 1 Peter 3 about women of unconverted husbands, through your own conduct. Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in connecting to someone who's struggling when we live out a godly conduct for the glory of Christ in the midst of really, really difficult situations. We can't be their Holy Spirit, but there is a lot that we can do in our own walks that can help someone to, they might notice even if they don't verbalize it, but it's complicated.
Great. Is there value in talking about emotional disorders to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, even when they have no solution and they won't fully understand?
Can whoever sent that, my email's going to come up at the end. Can you email me? Because I'm not quite sure I understand that correctly, and I wouldn't want to give an answer when I'm not sure about that. So if you can email me, there's just be a couple more things I'd like to ask, particularly if you're suggesting from that perhaps there is learning difficulty or something that would prevent them physically from understanding. So email me about that one.
Great. And there's one more that's come in while we've been stood here. How can we best support someone with chronic fatigue syndrome or ME?
It's really complicated. Yeah. I have a genetic condition, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and I get a lot of this sort of stuff myself. How do we point people? Like a lot of stuff, I know just from my own walk that when I plummet, when my body gives up on me, as it does sometimes, and I battle daily with pain and a lot of medical struggles, I know, just in my own walk, I face a choice every day when I wake up. Am I going to walk through this struggle? I know that the day is going to be a struggle, and I'm faced with a choice. Do I glorify God in the midst of that struggle, or do I live for myself? And when I live for myself, my poor children and husband will really suffer, because I'll be strolling around growling and just revolting. It's hard. But in God's strength, his grace is sufficient and his strength is perfected in our weakness. Sometimes when I am most weak, if I am clinging to the cross, he uses me more, I think.
Wonderful. So. Thank you. Well, while you reconnect with your notes, can I just mention that some of you have been asking about the recordings. These sessions are being recorded, and we will in due time, it's an audio recording, we will in due time make them available on the Soul Care Network part of the Equip page. So again, it's another incentive for you to make sure you get your email, get on the email list there. Thanks ever so much, Catherine.